Now, please turn in the Word of God to Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And we will commence our reading from verse 22. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. We read in the Word of God, Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us. But let us once again bow before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for the truth concerning thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks, O Lord, for the pattern that he sets before us. We give thee thanks, O God, that we are not left in the dark as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, but thou art the one who has sent the light into this dark world. Thou hast sent the gospel of our Savior that causes us to have eternal life and forgiveness of sins and peace with thee and being united to that family of God. Lord, help us so that as parents, as spouses, we might radiate the glory of thy Son in the church, in our families, in this world. Lord, we know that in ourselves there dwells no good thing. We know that in ourselves we find no hope, no encouragement. Neither we find it in other people. But we find every encouragement in thy word because it points us to the Savior. We thank thee, O Lord, for this sure hope. Bless each one here. We ask that thou wouldst revive thy church, revive thy people. We long to see that visitation from above, even within our families, O God. We have children who are unconverted. Lord, have mercy upon them. We thank Thee that Thou didst pluck out us out as a brand from burning. Lord, pluck them too. Rescue them also. Thou hast given us a promise of the gospel to us, to our children, to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord shall call. We pray that this promise of the gospel will enter into their hearts, and that they might also see something of Christ in our lives. Help, Lord, then, in all that is said and done today, that the glory of the Savior would be revealed. And then when we are in His presence and in that presence of His glory, we shall be changed. So bless. Forgive us for all of our failings. Forgive us, Lord, when we have sinned in various ways in our positions as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, O Lord, as grandparents. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst cleanse us afresh and fill us by Thy Holy Spirit even today. And we give Thee all the glory through Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, friends, if you would turn in the Word of God that we read together, I want to bring this first message that has been announced, which is the hope for parents following the Lord, hope for husbands and wives and for children, for families. Where is that hope found? What are you going to take from these series of messages today? Our only hope, my friends, is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in some sort of a method. It's not found in some sort of a technique. But you find your hope in Jesus Christ. You find your satisfaction in Jesus Christ. You find your salvation in Jesus Christ. We all need to be pointed to Him. Friends, we are living in such times that we need encouragements. All around us, it seems that society is crumbling. Various institutions, godly institutions, have been crumbling and under attack and undermined. And we are living in times that we do need to be informed. We do need to be reminded again and again. And yet, sadly, many people don't seem to be concerned. They don't seem to be taking these things seriously when everything else is crumbling. Would you be concerned if you are in a boat in the midst of the sea and there are holes in the bottom of that boat and or others you are seeing, they are drowning? Would you not be concerned? Yes, of course. You would be concerned. And I trust that is why you are here. Concern for yourselves. Wanting to follow the Savior. One example of this matter of the attacks in our society and in this nation, we are oftentimes reminded in the news, we oftentimes might even receive literature. Only yesterday, there was an urgent letter sent by the Christian Institute, again calling us to raise awareness, calling us to write to our MPs and showing our concern how the marriage is again being undermined, and the matter of divorce is now being promoted, that people can divorce under all kinds of reasons, or no reasons at all. And the timing of this process is to be shortened, even to be cancelled altogether. And so here is a concern that is made. We see these things. It's not something new to us. And for ourselves, for our own homes, there are days that we are thankful to God, and then there are days that we are very discouraged. And we look around and see how Satan is seeking to undermine these God-ordained institutions. And in the world, you find hopelessness. You find talking to non-Christians hopelessness. They don't know what to do about their children. They don't know what to do about their marriage that has become cold. They are just following various fads and ideas of different kinds of people. And they don't have hope. But as Christians, as Christian families, what should we do? We should have this resolve in our hearts, as Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, all those years ago, decades ago, in his series on of sermons on Ephesians, and this passage, he writes this, whether we like it or not, a breakdown in home life will eventually lead to a breakdown everywhere. This is surely the most menacing and dangerous aspect of the state of society at this present time. He preached this 40-odd years ago, more than that. He says, once the family idea, the family unit, the family life is broken up, once that goes, soon you will have no other allegiance. It is the most serious thing of all, he says. Now, I'm going to make one assumption. I'm making this assumption that all the parents here are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you have sought the Lord and found the Lord and you're born again of His Spirit and you're a man who and a woman who has faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and you're of a disposition of trust towards the Savior. You have a repentant heart that every day you're calling upon God. And that is my assumption as we deal with this. Because unless you are converted, then where will be your hope? Where will be your source of life? Where will be that light in your darkness? Except found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been saved by God's grace and their life is marked by godly and daily repentance and daily trust and faith in the triune God. I want to speak to you from this passage together of three things. Three simple things, but very deep things. And they are this. First of all, we want to think about the godly husband. Secondly, the godly wife. And then thirdly, godly parenting. These are actually three sermons fitted into one. And but I trust that you'll be encouraged and you'll be challenged in the right way and you will be uplifted and pointed to the Savior who is our hope. First of all, friends, we want to think the hope that you have is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, in connection to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul applies this truth to husbands. And that is the first thing I want us to think about, godly husbands. How should a Christian man be in the home, in his relationship with his wife, in his relationship with his children? The Christian ought not to follow the changing and wrong teachings that the world and the uncertain culture gives us. But you find hope, as I've said again and again. You find answer, you find wisdom, you find light from God's Word. And so we want to use Ephesians 5 and part of 6, chapter 6, as the basis of the calling of God on married men and their duties in the home. That's the first thing. The teaching here is that the Lord Jesus Christ sets the pattern for the husbands and fathers. The fundamental teaching is in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Now, We could say all kinds of things. And I will not be able to at all, I would not pretend to exhaust this subject in any way or to feel adequate to say things or to say that what I see from this passage, I see perfectly being demonstrated in my life. And I'm sure you would say the same thing. All of us, we have as those who are learning to drive, they have their L plates on. They're learners. And we are constantly learning. We are constantly learning to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And here there is this instruction. Husbands, learn this. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so the apostle sets this pattern of loving Christ, loving his bride. And he says, husbands, you are to be the same. You are to be the same. And there are a number of things I want to say about this. What does that mean? What does it mean, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church? The first thing under this is this: unconditional and complete giving. How are you going to love your wife in a real way? You are to unconditionally and completely give yourself. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And it is himself who gave himself for his bride, the church. Jesus Christ gave himself. This is not a sort of a part giving. It's not a part exchange. It's not a half-hearted thing at all. But it is unconditional. It's not based on the bride. It is not based on the church. It's not dependent on the church. And yet Jesus Christ gives himself unconditionally and completely. He gave his total self. Did he hold anything back? No. Think of his cross. Think of Calvary. Think of Gethsemane. This is what he did. But what about now? This is what he's doing still. He gives himself. Jesus Christ gives himself to us. Forever making intercession for us. Leading and defending and protecting and empowering and gracing us. Grace upon grace he gives us. Day by day to his church, to his people. If you're a Christian, you have these experiences. You know that you are not alone. You know that he is with you always. He is hearing you. He is answering prayer. He sends his Spirit. He sends the Comforter. You have peace with God through him. You have forgiveness of sins through him. And all the blessings that God pours upon you is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, priest, and king still. And he functions in those roles. Think of him giving himself. When he comes again as our glorious king, he is the church's husband. This is what he does for us. And he calls men, he calls husbands to do the same. This total giving of ourselves to our wives in genuine, true love. That's the doctrine. That's the teaching here. Paul says elsewhere in Galatians 2 and verse 20 that Christ loved me, him in his totality, him in his person, as both God and man, loved me and gave himself for me without any condition. So that is one thing about the husband, the teaching. There is this unconditional and there is this complete giving of himself. And we will look at the application of it very soon. But the second matter of teaching here is this. The husband is to his love and his giving of himself should be faithful and intentional. It's the matter of faithfulness and being intentional. How real is Christ's love? Does he love his church? with all of our failings and blemishes and wrinkles and spots? Yes. He goes on faithfully loving us. He made a covenant with his Father that he will redeem us and he will first love us. Look at those verses in Ephesians 5, verses 26 and 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it, that is the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you see that? Do you see what the Lord Jesus Christ had to save? For what people he gave himself? People who have spots, people who have blemishes, people who have wrinkles, people who are unholy, people who are dead in trespasses and sins, people who are his enemies. That's what he does. But he comes faithfully in saving us. This is a realistic thing. This is an intentional thing that he does. He is faithful in this. Husbands, from this teaching, I ask you, are you realistic about your wife in your love towards her? Do you love her remembering your own sinfulness? Do you love her remembering that she's a sinner just like you? Christ loves knowing our sinfulness. But then, what do you do about it? Do you intentionally and with purpose love your wife and aim for her growth and her development in holiness? That is something we see here then in this passage. But then the third teaching that we have in this passage is the selfless and sacrificial giving of Christ. The selfless and sacrificial giving of Christ. So we have the unconditional and complete giving, the faithful and intentional giving, and the selfless and sacrificial giving. Look at verses 28 and 29. So ought men, on the basis of what we have just read, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Who does the nourishing? Who does the cherishing? Who does the loving? The church. It is Christ. At whose expense does he do that? At his own expense. He's the one who is doing it. He gives and he gives and he gives. Grace upon grace he gives. Mercy upon mercy he pours upon you. And here is the pattern for you husbands. Treat your wives at your own expense. By being selfless, not selfish. This may be painful. It's not always easy. It is not always convenient. But you care for her the way you care for your body. This is what we see here. In verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And that's the pattern. The pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ, our only hope. Imagine, friends, cutting your hand by accident. You would immediately give it attention. You would immediately care for it. When your wife is hurting and has a need, she's speaking to you about a matter that she's concerned about. Do you give her the same treatment that you would give to your hand? Well, let me say some words of application here. How will you put these examples of the Lord Jesus Christ into action over your wife? And here I appreciate that we are covering many things that you probably have heard of before. Maybe these are just reminders for you. And we are just skimming the surface, as it were. But how are you going to do this practically? First thing is this, by way of application of these texts and the teaching of the Word of God, you must have a caring attention over her. That's the first thing. Caring attention. This begins, this giving of yourself and showing of your love in a real way, you give that caring attention. Showing great interest and attention to your wife as a person. It's not the fact that you are going to get something in return, but you are earnestly caring for her, attending her needs. This is something maybe you used to do when you began courting. You cared about her. Ask her how her day went and so on. This is something you should do. Be concerned for her. Pay attention to her. Ask, how is she today? What has she done today? About the children's behavior. How have they been? How has she managed to cope? Ask her about her desires. What she is concerned about. What frustrates her? You need to learn to listen to her. This is how you give yourself to her. This is how you pay attention in a caring way to her. Doesn't Christ listen to you? All your concerns, big and small, you bring to Him. I trust you do. And He listens and He answers. He provides. When you do not have the means to provide for yourself, He provides for you. And so in that way, then we open up to Him. We go to Him again and again, crying to Him, open the matters before the Savior. Well, help her to open up her heart to you more and more by asking her, talking to her. Another thing, the second thing, by way of application, is praying. Of course, this should be a natural thing, praying for your wife. Do you pray for her alone? Do you pray with her? Praying about the needs that she has. Bring them before God. Earnestly pray for her spiritual development, for her emotional needs. If there are ailments, pray about those things. Does your wife know that you are praying for her? This is your privilege. This is your duty as you follow the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues to make intercession for us. And that He does forever. Husbands, Christ is your hope and He is your pattern in this. But then another application is this overflowing love. Love your wife abundantly. Are you loving your wife abundantly or has it become cold? Love her as she is. As Cromwell said, warts and all, faults included. Your love would show itself by pleasing her. We read in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 33, how he may please his wife, we read. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. He says, this is what a husband does. He seeks, how am I going to please her? Treat her with highest respect and honor her. Be tender toward her. What does Peter tell us in his first epistle? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Is this you? Or do you speak in a disrespectful manner before others of your wife? In a digging way before others? This ought not to be, friends. Tell her and show her every day how much you love her. When was the last time you told your wife? And you demonstrated. There's one thing to say and another thing to demonstrate. But it should be something that regularly she hears the words of love and affection from the husband. Doesn't Christ do that for us? Every page of the Scripture, something of Christ's love to us. How much He thinks of us. And His plans for us, what He's going to do for us, what He provides for us now. He puts it in words and He acts upon it. He loved me. How? He gave Himself for me. God has especially gifted you with your wife, and so cherish her as a treasure from the Lord. But then another point is praise. Praise. Show your love to her, but praise her. Tell her the lovely thoughts that and feelings that you have toward her. Be intimate. Be specific. Keep on complimenting her regularly. My friends, with all of these things that I say to you, I'm pointing all these fingers at myself too. So don't think I am speaking as a man who has arrived at these things, but we have to faithfully speak about these things from the Word of God. But the Scripture speaks on these things. Doesn't Christ speak highly of His church, praising the church? In Proverbs 31 and verse 28, we read about that wife. Her children arise up and call her blessed in front of everyone. So she is a blessed mother. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's what he does. He praises her before everyone. He doesn't put her down. He praises her. Compliment her kindness. Compliment her smiles. Compliment her dress, her and thousand other things. Compliment her with your love, with love in your voice and eyes and embrace. All of those things should compliment and praise her. Never allow the children to speak disrespectfully about her. If your children do that, shame on husbands who allow children to speak disrespectful. You must repent of this if that is what happens. And you must stop and correct the children in that situation. You are to praise and let your children praise your wife. Praise her then. Pour your love on her. Pray for her. Give that caring attention to her. But also study her likes and dislikes. Learn what your wife enjoys. Maybe she enjoys walking. Maybe she has certain favorite food and activity. Grow in knowing her. If you center your relationship about with the children, what will you do when the children go, when they leave the home? Will you have anything in terms of friendship between you and your wife? All of those things. Children do not come first. Christ comes first, and then it is your wife. God comes first, and then it is your wife. Christ loved the church. So study her likes and dislikes. Cultivate friendship and your interests. Don't be, as Joel Beakey puts it often in his sermons about family, don't be like two ships passing in the night. You're busy and then just you go to bed and the same routine goes on and you don't get to know each other. You don't communicate with each other, passing each other. And letting your marriage go on and on as it were, on cruise control. Just going on. And then suddenly you think, what have we got in common? I don't know this woman. And she says, I don't know this man. We've not talked. We don't know each other. Another point is this. You must give godly and tender leadership. Godly and tender leadership. We read in verse 23 that Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. That is the church. Christ is the head. Provide your wife with biblical, loving, and clear servant leadership. Not some sort of a ruthless authoritarianism. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Matthew 20 and verse 25, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister," that is your servant. It is a servant leadership. You are the head of the home. You must give an account of your conduct before God one day. You must seek the Lord daily then about how you are to lead your home. How you are under the Lord Jesus Christ going to make the decision, make the plans and work through things as the prophet and priest and king in the home. Be the spiritual leader of your wife and children. It is not your wife's role to be the spiritual leader. Be that father shepherd in the home. This is the concern, isn't it? And such leaders and leadership is not obtained by spending inordinate time on other things. Let me say, on your phone maybe, on the internet maybe, on other various other things. Remember always that there are God-given differences and needs between men and women, physically, emotionally, and also work-wise, and responsibilities and functions. Give her that leadership that she needs. Give your children that leadership that they need. Quit you like men, the scripture says. If there are small faults and small matters, refrain from, as the head of the home, refrain from criticizing and pointing them out. But for big faults and sins and behaviors that are unbecoming, then point them out biblically, with great love and care, tenderly, at the right time, in the right place. Never before others, especially your children. This is something we all blush, don't we? Under no circumstance, as the head of the home, let any relationship to take priority over your friendship with your wife. Guard yourself against close relationship with other women at work or church or elsewhere. Especially in this day and age, watch your social media contacts and being alone with other women. Always let her have full access to your phone, to your computer, to your social media pages. Guard your heart on these things. Sin of adultery and temptations that are there on the media has slain its thousands and destroyed unnumbered marriages and homes. These are serious things that we are talking about. Don't think lightly of temptations and sins. Another thing, as a head of the home, never compare your wife critically and unfavorably to other people. Remember too that you must give your wife the freedom to strive to be her own kind of a Proverbs 31 woman. Do not smother her or try to control her personality. She is the one whom the Lord has created, the Lord has made. These are things that we find in the Word of God. We find it in Proverbs 31. You Christian husbands, and husbands-to-be, I trust all of our young men and boys, this is what your desire is. One day, you would be a husband in God's will, if the Lord wills. You ought to be growing then in increasing Christ-likeness, in following the pattern set by our Savior in your marriage, in your unconditional and complete giving, in your faithful and intentional love, in your selfless and sacrificial love and leadership. So much more could be said about these things. Are you, my friends, committed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in these things? Are you there when your family needs a leader? Who would not only provide for the material needs, but for the spiritual needs. Are you there for your wife? Are you leading her? Or has she got to carry many burdens of responsibilities? Now let me move on to the second thing, the godly wife. God's perfect plan of families include the creation of both men and women, as well as how they are to relate to one another. And friends, the entrance of and the presence of sin has affected every relationship. That is, our relationship with God, our relationship with our fellow men. And God in His mercy has instituted marriage between one man and one woman in paradise, as recorded in Genesis 1 and 2. We have seen that God calls husbands to love and care and nourish and cherish His bride, as Christ does those things to His church. And in response, God calls the wives to respect and to submit to the husbands in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christ does those things for His church. The roles are complementary. Together, they are a family. Apart from children, they're a family, husband and wife. This is the institution of marriage. Husband is the head of the home, providing and protecting, and she being his helpmeet, a suitable helper at his side, as it were the hub of the wheel in the home, the manager, the operator, as it were. Spurgeon said that it is the husband who is the breadwinner and the wife is the bread maker. I would recommend you highly the John Plowman's talks to you. Friends, we both complement. The details may differ, but God's plan and principles are timeless. The world calls the Bible and its teaching sexist. The feminist movement began, friends, not 40, 50, 60 years ago. It began at the fall. It began in paradise. It began when Eve sought to usurp the role of the man. And this is the sinful disposition of men and women since then, and to usurp each other's role and take each other's role. And that is why God said that man was to rule and provide, and the woman was to love and care and submit and follow. These are different functions that God has, in His goodness, has given. But man rejects it. So be careful. If we can see the damage it has caused to families in our societies, God gives wives the encouragement and hope and grace that is in Christ. Look at those words in verses 22 and 24. 22 to 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is God's word and call, and we are to trust Him with love and contentment in what He has said. God is God, and the world hates God and God's laws. So we must not listen to the demands and the suggestions and the advice of the world, because they are lies. They are not true. Godly women must withstand with all their might against the feminists' drumbeat, which says this is degrading and choosing rather to be in God's will. That is what you want to do. You want to be in God's will. And you can expect, in that situation, expect the rest for your soul and the blessing that you need. Now, let me quickly point out a number of things by way of application. Number one, love Christ. You wives, love Christ and submit to Him with all your heart. Though this will be, through this, you will have a happy marriage as you seek to love Christ. You will be then a happy Christian and happy wife and woman. There's a constant repetition of the phrase in this passage of in Christ, unto the Lord, and so on, showing that there is a true submission first to the Lord, first to God. Love Christ above everyone and everything else. Store His written word in your heart and make it your meditation and let it be seen in your life. Your temptation, your worries, your sins are to be mortified and fought against. Why? By spending time with the Lord, you must mortify those things because you must follow Christ first. You need Him first. And as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can be a godly wife. Spend time with the Savior then. And this is so difficult for wives because you are so busy with this and that and the other, the care of the home, the family, and so on. And by God's grace, plan things, carve out time, however small it may be, a minute here, a minute there, calling upon God, spending, meditating on His truth. Pray while you're doing mundane things. Be a spiritual fighter. Be a reader of God's Word, a student of the Bible and good books to know the Savior. Be a praying wife and mother. Put on the whole armor of God daily, as instructed in Ephesians 6. If you are speaking with Christ, walking with Christ, then you will be given the grace to be in harmony with your husband and be a godly wife and a helper to him, even if he is not converted, even if he is backslidden. Ultimately, you should be motivated by serving Christ and His glory. You are not cooking that meal merely for your husband. You're not ironing that shirt merely for your husband. You are doing it as unto the Lord. And then, what would you do if he comes and says, "Oh, this is too salty, this is too sweet"? Where will you get your satisfaction from? You didn't do it essentially for him. You did it as unto the Lord. And so then you can receive encouragement from Christ. Even at times your husband foolishly would complain about such things. So if he does not respond to you, what you want to, if you have sought to please Christ, then you will not be so discouraged and crushed by your earthly husband's sinful conduct. So that's one thing. Love Christ. Be also, secondly, a faithful husband lover. Be a faithful husband lover. Your call to be to faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and faithfulness to your husbands. You are to seek God's grace daily to sincerely give your spouse your love, your affection, your commitment, your attention. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 that the older women are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Giving into temptation and saying, "No, that is not for me, my husband is unlovable," giving into that temptation is not an option for a Christian. He may be getting older and life seems to be mundane, yet you have covenanted to have and to hold and to love and to care for him under Christ. Until death do you part. And as the church continues to follow and obey Christ until our dying day, and we renew our love and commitment to him day by day, you pour your energy into your relationship with your husband. The term love their wives or love their husbands is in the Greek New Testament. It's just one word. That is, we have to divide it up to translate it, love their wives. Or literally, it is to be a husband lover. That's what it means. They are to love their husbands. It means a husband lover. And then a children lover. That's something you ought to be known for. That means you love him in spite of his faults. Spurgeon advises the women in his congregation to keep your eyes wide open before marriage. Know what kind of a person you are getting married to. and then half closed after. So focus. How do you keep your eyes half closed? Well, you need to focus on something and neglect certain other things. Focus on your husband's positive characteristics. Oh, he has plenty of negatives. You have told him that. But concentrate on the positive characteristics. This is what you ought to do. Thank him for those things that he seeks to do. In Proverbs 10 and verse 12, we read, hatred stirreth up strife. Is the matter, maybe there is a strife in the home? Is it because of things that is being stirred up, which you ought not to raise? But love covereth all sins. Then minimizing his irritating faults and strange behavior, strange ways that we all have. This is something that is emphasized in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent charity among yourselves. For charity or love covers the multitude of sins. And something else, keep romance and intimacy alive. Keep your courtship alive. Seek to keep yourself healthy and attractive as much as possible. Nurture your marriage. It is precious. And then the third thing I want to say is this. Be respectful and honor your husband always. Be respectful. In verse 33, the latter part, or 32, we read this. But verse 33. It says, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Your respect for your husband begins in the heart and flows out in your tone of voice. So if you, the things that are coming out of you is not respectful, it's because your heart is not. It's not, it's flowing out of what is inside of you. So you must go to the Lord and repent about this, your conduct. Let respect and honor flow out of the tone of your voice, your facial expressions, your affection or the lack of it, the words that you say. He may not be worthy of that respect or earned it, but this is what your Lord and Savior called you to be. Such behavior will have an impact on your husband and it will be transforming for him. He longs for your appreciation, for his work and your acknowledgement of his gifts. As a baby, you have all seen a baby, or the baby who grabs hold of your little finger. You just have to put it in his hand, and then he grabs hold of it. So does a husband. When you do show that respect toward him and acknowledge his gift, he is like that child who grabs hold of those characteristics that you praise, and he seeks to be better at those things even more. Another thing, keep connected with your husband's world. Ask him about his day. Seek to identify with him. Tell him about yourself, your thoughts, your feelings of your heart, both daily things and spiritual things. Seek to open up to him and help him to open up to you. And then pray together about those things. And finally, let me say, under the heading of the wife, submit to your husband in the Lord. It says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In verse 24, we read, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You are both like the president and vice president of a company who are ministering and serving each other. You're of equal value as our children and employees to the parents and the boss. But as in all groups, someone has to be the head leader and responsible. And husband and wife ought to be best friends who make decisions together for the good of the family. And when they can't agree, the husband must, in a godly way, make the decision about things, having thought through the matters, talking to his wife, think and seeking the Lord's will, make those decisions. We should not be pulling in different directions about different matters in our lives. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. I ask you men, are you men easy to submit to? Do you wives find it easy to respect and to submit to your husbands? Of course, some men are more difficult to respect and to submit to than others. Their wives have that challenging task of rising above their behavior and seek God's help to obey Him as far as she does not sin. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, we read, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." That doesn't mean that you are a doormat, as the saying is, for him to walk over you. You're not to help him and to approve and excuse his sin. In such matters, you must exercise what is known as tough love, to speak to him from God's word in a loving way. Pray for yourself to have the wisdom and the fortitude. Pray and hope in God's promise that through your faithfulness, the Lord will convict him. Maybe he's unconverted. That the Lord would convict him and to sanctify him by your example. My friends, there is hope. And I may be talking to people with difficult husbands, unconverted husbands, maybe very kind husbands, but unconverted. I may talk to someone who is a single parent too. What should you do about these things? Well, who is sufficient for these things? You must need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you this, those of you who know wives or husbands whose spouses are unconverted, pray for them. Show love towards them. Know that they are doing so many things alone and trying to be the husband or the wife and trying to parent the children in their godly way. Think of them. Include them in your social surroundings and so on. My friends, I will not have time to deal with the matter of in chapter 6 about the relationship with children. But let me just give you the various outline pointers that I wanted to mention under this. In verses 1 to 4 of Ephesians 6, speaks about the children obeying their parents and then honor their father and mother and so on. And then it says in verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." What does it mean? Bringing them up. It is a training discipleship that we are involved in. And we are, in that sense, we are to pray for our children. We are to teach the Bible to our children. We are to have times of family worship every day. There are literature at the back there regarding family worship and the biblical principles behind it. You are to lovingly disciple them by disciplining them. The scripture says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Do you believe this? The world doesn't believe this. The scripture says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Do you believe and practice this? A loving discipline? There is material at the back that you would be encouraged to read on these things to see what the scripture says. Give godly counsel to your children. Know the scriptures and know how to give godly counsel. Be able to say, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Give godly example to your children. And in all of these things, seek to be Christ-like, friends. We are here because we wanted to encourage you, to remind you of the holy and high responsibilities that the Lord has given to us. to encourage you to see that you will only find your hope and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ as He is described here. Pray for each other. We wanted us to gather together so that we can also have fellowship together. So maybe encourage each other in these things. Who is sufficient for these things? Who will listen to and hope in? Who are you going to listen to? The world, your heart and feelings, or the unchanging Word of God? There is our joy and hope and life in Christ. Well, may the Lord help us in these things. Amen.